When you and I are revival, everywhere we go, the power of God goes. And family, it's important for us to know and understand that's God's plan. His plan is for you and I to do the works that He did. Our subtitle is Bring the Kingdom Wherever You Go. 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5 says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration and of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let the demonstration of Spirit and power be your loudest conversation everywhere you go. You know, signs and wonders will follow those who follow Jesus. Because everywhere He goes, signs and wonders go. And it's important for us to know and understand that. You know, a simple illustration of that is, can I have two people help me illustrate this? A simple illustration of that, I'm gonna start giving away money or something when I ask for volunteers, because y'all be hesitant. There's two people here. Now, give me somebody else. Let me have one more person.
I thought you were gonna send me back.
No. You're not rejected. Let's say John is Jesus. These two are believers. If John starts walking that way and Steve begins to walk with him, wherever John, aka Jesus, goes, can Steve expect to see signs, miracles, and wonders?
Yeah.
Now, even though Josiah is a believer, even though he said yes to Jesus, if he doesn't follow Jesus, can he expect to see signs, miracles, and wonders? No. It is about being followers. Let me redeem Josiah. Go ahead and follow. Go ahead and follow. Follow Jesus. Because those of us who make the decision to be followers can absolutely expect to see signs, miracles, and wonders. Give them a hand. Thank you, gentlemen. It is what will happen. Let the demonstration of Spirit and power be your loudest conversation. Today we're talking about being revival. It's time for you and I not to cry out, "Lord, send revival." It's time for you and I to cry out, "Lord, revive me." When you and I are revival, everywhere we go, the power of God goes. And family, it's important for us to know and understand that's God's plan. His plan is for you and I to do the works that He did. So critical that we know and understand that. Thank you, Lord. You know, I encourage you to take notes. You know, we have notes to hand out, you know, right on the back. So I encourage you to not entrust spiritual revelation to your memory. God is going to say something to you today that could be the key for the rest of the year for you. Something could have you stuck. And God will share something that would be a key to get you unstuck. So in your hearing, be mindful to take notes. Be mindful. Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying about this situation? How many of you have needs in your life? There's things that you need answers for. I know I do. There are things, and you know what? As much as I love you, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want your experience. I want to hear from heaven. I want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say about it, because He has never missed it. Respectfully, you have. I have. But he is undefeated. And what if we tuned in and just listened to what he had to say? Would it be an upgrade in our lives? Absolutely. Let's pray a little further. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this atmosphere that you have prepped. The corporate anointing that's available to produce solutions, insight. Thank you for revelation and utterance. We honor you, Lord. We honor you. We know and understand that honor is the language of heaven, and we honor you. We magnify you today. You are our priority. Speak divine wisdom into our hearts. Open our eyes. Open our ears so that we can see and hear what you are saying. Show us your glory. Holy Spirit, I yield to you now. Operate through me. Demonstrate the love and the power of God. Stir up the hearts, all of our hearts and minds. Every listener, those who are watching online, Lord, minister to them right where they are. Touch them. Speak to them. Thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. How many of you expecting to receive something today? You know, I sense it. Be it unto you as you have believed. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's talking about all ethnicity. That's talking about all color, creed. That's of all nations. Go make disciples out of everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Training, spending time, going over, rehearsing them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Jesus wants you and I to know and understand that we are being raised up. We are being equipped to go out, but not alone. He is with us always, and when we go out with the boldness and the confidence of knowing that Jesus is with me, we can be bold. We can go forward knowing that the champion on the inside of me is leading and guiding me. This text, Matthew 28, is called the Great Commission, and it reminds us that God's plans goes way beyond our own personal salvation. It's about spreading the good news and walking side by side with others. Family, if all of us began reaching out and walking side by side with one person, we would not only experience personal growth, because you can't lead somebody, walk with somebody, get in the word with somebody without growing. It would also stimulate true biblical church growth. I want us to take a look at this video. I should have asked Pastor Jerry if the video was ready. Is the video ready? It is not. My fault. Maybe before the service is up, I want to play that video. It's a great demonstration of what it means to walk side by side with someone. So while they're working on that, the first point I want to make is make a decision to be a change agent. You make a decision that I am going to be a part of the solution. We're not called to fit in. Jesus never, you know what, it's okay to feel odd when you're in public. When you're in different arenas, it's okay because you're peculiar. Jesus didn't fit in. And we won't fit in. We're not called to fit in. You know, I remember the first time two things happened. We were at a church for 12 years, and we ended up leaving that church and ended up going to another church, new church, different culture at that church, different structure, different. It was just different for us. And I remember being a part, and I ended up being a part of the leadership team. And I was sharing one day about just, you know, what I do, just my own spiritual disciplines, I'll call them. And it was so counterculture that it made me feel like, man, you know, maybe I am doing too much. You know, that was the comments I was getting, like, man, you do all of that? And I was like, well, you know, new church, you know, I'm gonna try to be one of the guys. So I started backing off on my own personal spiritual disciplines. And it was the worst thing I could have ever done. Talking about feeling like a fish out of water. It just wasn't right. It was putting my relationship with my Lord in danger. And it wasn't cool. I don't know about y'all, but I like to hang out with Jesus. Amen. I like to spend time with him. We have a great time. Amen. And, you know, serving. And I remember the first time I was on a prayer team, and I had an opportunity to pray for somebody. And it just, you know, when you pray for people, you lay hands on them. And I remember laying hands on this gentleman. And no sooner than my hand hit his head, he went down. And it was, and I know it wasn't like this in the natural, but in my mind, it was like I heard the praise and worship go, everything stopped, everybody looked over, and I was like, oh Lord, what have I done? And I remember thinking, man, am I all right? Like, am I supposed to be me wherever I go? And it was a real challenge. New church, new spot, trying to be one of the guys. And the biggest lesson I learned from that is my finish line is in front of me. My finish line is not your finish line. My lane is my lane. Your lane is your lane. And family, whatever you do, get in and stay in your lane. Amen. Amen. That's good. I can't get your prize for you doing what you do. Amen. Never lower your standards to accommodate someone who won't raise theirs. If you have a desire to walk hand in hand with Jesus, you do that. Amen. The time you spend with him, the effort and the energy that you put into your relationship, never back off for anybody. What will it take for you to bring the kingdom everywhere you go? You staying close to Jesus. You walking hand in hand with him. Don't let the function of Christianity steal the see, this is what the function of Christianity can steal the fire of being a disciple. Don't get caught up in the function of church and lose the fire of your relationship with the Lord. You stay close to him at all costs. There's a difference than being a Christian and being a disciple. There's a difference in being a believer who sits and a disciple who goes and follows Jesus. Say this with me. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. You can expect signs, miracles, and wonders. Because everywhere he goes, they go. Amen. You know, the word Christian was used 3 times in the Bible. 3. 2 times in Acts and once in Peter. The word disciple was used over 250 times. I think it's 290. Why? Because that's what Jesus was saying. Follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Don't do it alone. Next point. Don't do this. Don't do kingdom life alone. You make a point to go. Jesus said go out two by two on purpose. He was very intentional when he sent the disciples out two by two. Kingdom living is not meant to be done alone. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. I'm going to look at this in the New American. Where y'all going? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 in the New American. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Who is he who promised? Jesus is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. This is so important. It's awesome to love people. You couple that with good deeds, you start to look like, sound like, act like Jesus. Love alone is awesome. Love with action advances the kingdom. It said love and good deeds. That's different. How many of you have had somebody say, I love you, and you know it was beneficial, and you had somebody come alongside you and demonstrate love? How many of you, raise your hand if you've seen the difference. Second one is better, true or not true? Verse 25 says, not forsaking. You know, on that note, how many of you heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Raise your hand if you heard the story of the Good Samaritan. You know why the Good Samaritan is in the Bible? Not just because of loving on somebody. Not just because, you know, he didn't just pray for them. What did he do? Cleaned them up, packed them up, took them and put them in an inn. Those are good deeds. The Good Samaritan would not be famous, world-renowned, if he did not have means to take care of that wounded individual. Amen. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some. For not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to become closer and closer as we see the day drawing near. The worse it gets out there, the tighter we should get in here. This passage is instructing us to provoke one another into love and good works. A major way of doing that is through assembling ourselves together with other believers. Now, whether it's in the house or outside of the house, it's the assembling together that God is looking for. We come in the house to get some spiritual food, to get equipped, to, of course, we spur each other on to good works and good deeds in here, and that's awesome. But when we walk out of those doors, we should be hanging out. We should be reminding one another of what the word says. We should be reminding, what was your takeaway from Sunday? We should be drawing closer and closer as the day draws near. You know, we have M3 is men mentoring men, and it is always so powerful to see men coming together and just being transparent. It is impossible not to grow in that type of growth environment where men are able to be real and share what they're going through, share what they're believing to overcome. It's an amazing environment. If you're a man and you have yet to come to M3, I highly, highly recommend it. We shouldn't forsake getting together. The word forsake is not talking about we have to be in church every time the door is open. It's talking about you and I are gathering regularly. The end of the scripture, verse 25, it says, as we get closer to the end of time, we need to fellowship with believers even more. Here's my challenge to you. Make a decision to find somebody in here that you're going to fellowship with out there more. Find somebody. Don't. You know, one of the reasons why I believe God started M3 was because I've been a part of three different churches since we moved from California to Arizona. And the other two churches I was surrounded by were the men's ministry. There was a bunch of men. And it is a struggle to remember them. It is a struggle to remember their names, their wife's name. What was it? Man, I kind of remember. And what a shame. I was at one church for 12 years, another church for 8 years, 20 years of men's ministry, and that is not right. Yeah, that's true. I have gotten closer intentionally with men in M3, and not all of them come to Word Life, which is my favorite part. It's a men's gathering, not a Word Life, men's gathering. And I know more about, I'm closer to, and will go to these men without hesitation because of the culture that's been created. I believe God is wanting to shift the culture to such a degree that wherever you go, fire gets started. Amen. Wherever you go, you end up in a conversation talking about the things of God. You end up praying for somebody. You end up seeing somebody healed. You begin to just prophesy to somebody. I said a couple weeks ago, there's going to be an outbreak of visions and dreams in this setting. And I've already heard testimonies of visions and dreams being increased. Pay attention to those. God is going to begin to show you, young men, visions, and you need to be aware that this is a vision. This is something I need to pay attention to. You're not just daydreaming. And older men, you're going to begin to dream with clarity. Men and women. Clarity. Pay attention to that. I've learned a long time ago to not take it lightly when the Holy Spirit deposit something for me to share for the body. We're not called to just hang on. Family, Jesus didn't die so we would be great sin avoiders. That was not his plan. That was not his strategy for the body of Christ. We're called to take the kingdom everywhere we go. Be a great follower. Say this with me. I am free. I am a follower. And everywhere I go, freedom goes. Let's go to Mark 16:16. Everywhere Jesus went, signs and wonders followed him. Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Raise your hand if you ever cast out a demon. It's right. It's right. You know, at that same church, I remember being on the prayer line again, and this this man was demon possessed, and I was standing right about here, and as soon as he got up for prayer, you know, my is this sacrilegious to say spidey sense? y'all know what I'm talking about. My spidey sense was tingling, and I just kind of looked up, and I knew he was gonna need deliverance, and so I started making my way over here. So I invited him to the back room, and laid hands on him, and he began to manifest. And I mean, it's funnier now than it was then. But my prayer support just vanished, and I casted the demon out, and those who stuck around or kept their eyes open saw a demonstration of the authority that we have as believers. It wasn't a struggle. It was simply taking authority. And he was trying to scare people. The demon in him was trying to scare people and trying to be all demonstrative. And I told him, shut up. And as soon as I said shut up, he went back against the wall, slid down, and that's where he stayed until I gave him permission to get back up. And I didn't give him permission to get back up until he was cast out, and he was a free man. And it's important for us to know that's the authority that we have as a believer. Raise your hand if you're a believer. Raise your hand if you said yes to Jesus. That is your authority. Walk in that. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can expect people to recover because you're aligning yourself to the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God, and when you and I get in the path of His will, we can expect results. Somebody say amen to that. We can expect results. They will recover. Jesus wants us to actively follow Him. Matthew 4:19 says, "Then He said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Jesus wants you and I to populate heaven. He wants us to be a part of His plan to populate heaven. Mark 16:19-20. It says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them," let's read that together. It's on the screen. Ready, read. Verse 20 goes on and say, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs." So you mean to tell me after Jesus went up and sat next to the Father, He still went with them with accompanying signs? How did that happen? The Holy Spirit. You are not alone. It is not by your might. It's not by your strength. You are not alone. And I just declare boldness to rise up like never before. Why am I constantly talking about you being a disciple more than a Christian? It's the Word, for one. And the other reason is I've seen Christians and I've seen believers sit, and their life doesn't get better. I've seen believers be spectators and not benefit from the power of the Holy Spirit and get the reps of being a disciple. There's something about getting the reps in of being a disciple that changes everything. It's more, you get to be the conduit to heaven. You get to be a part of God's plan here on the earth. Did we get that video ready? Let's play that video.
And this is my testimony. Okay, so for me, last week, I'll start there in the decision for the actual baptism. Wednesday, I had a serious conversation with actually my boyfriend, and we basically talked about how our paths are going in two separate directions, and we need to put an end to things. And I was in a park, and I was just praying and crying and journaling. And as I was praying, I heard, look for a church. I'm like, okay. So I Googled, and I looked to see who was having Bible study. It was Wednesday, and Word Life, was the only church that was open that day. And I called three times, trying to get through to someone, just to see, like, is there prayer tonight? It says it's prayer night, and couldn't get anybody. And I came here about 6:15, and I said, I'll just sit in the parking lot and wait. I popped my head in, I seen a group of men. I'm like, maybe it's not happening. And I stayed in the parking lot. Fast forward, about 7 o'clock, I seen a man come in, and I'm like, okay, I'll go up to the door now. Pop my head in, it's still men at the time. And I'm like, okay. And now I know Pastor Freddie, he seen me and, you know, kind of was like, 1 second. And he came over and just was like, yeah, we don't have it this week. You know, we postponed it because of our men's group. And I'm like, oh, I just need a prayer. You know, I just need us to be in the atmosphere, you know, just in a church building to pray is what I felt led to. And so fast forward, he said, that's not a problem. A couple of us stay around afterwards to pray. You're more than welcome to join, you know, prayer is priority. And that blessed me, you know. And so we prayed. I, you know, was just being led every step of the way. After prayer, we had a conversation about baptism. And he doesn't know this, but when I was praying in my car, I read the scripture, and I can't think of it in this moment because it's in my journal, but it talked about baptism. And I'm like, well, I was baptized when I was a child, and didn't think too much of it. And so coming here and that being something that was talked about, it was only a confirmation when it was mentioned. And so that's what led that decision, it being a confirmation in every step of the way. It was like the Holy Spirit was really guiding me here to be baptized, to be connected. And after being baptized, oh my goodness. I've been reading that scripture all week that talked about circumcision and cutting away, you know, and you know, dying to yourself and being raised again in Christ. And just, oh, that's what I felt when I went in that water. My mind finally stopped. There was no more noise. There was no more just torment in my mind. It's like I was raised, and it was just peace and light, and that's what I experienced. And I know there's more to come because it just happened, but that's my experience so far. Yeah, that's how it happens. That was my steps to get me to this moment. Just just God letting me know what needs to happen for this next journey of my life. And that's how it happened.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace, your love, your mercy. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up front. Thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural insight, wisdom, and favor. I'm praying over every individual who's in the room right now and those who are watching online. If you need prayer for anything, if you've never made Jesus your Lord, if you've never accepted the forgiveness that Jesus died on the cross to give you, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we want to give you an opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. If you have pain in your body, you don't have to leave here with that pain. So I'm just going to pray over you and open up the altar. I'm going to invite you to come to the altar because there are some life decisions that happen at the altar. You know, at the altar, we say yes to our loved one forever. At the altar, we say goodbye to our loved ones. At the altar, we dedicate babies. At the altar, life decisions are made. So if you want to be healed, saved, if you need to be delivered, you're going through some kind of mental torment. I just heard that. You can be delivered this morning.